This morning, God's Word comes to us from Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. We'll be reading just the first 12 verses of this chapter. Galatians 1, beginning at verse 1, what we hear now is God's Word. Paul, an apostle, not from men, nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers who are with me, to the churches of Galatia. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we, or an angel from heaven, should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. For I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel. For I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. Here we end the reading of God's holy word. Well, children, yesterday was a special day. And maybe some of you celebrated something special yesterday. I know that some of the children in our neighborhood celebrated a special day yesterday. Some of them dressed up in various costumes. Some of them took bags along with them as they walked through the neighborhood. And two of them came to our door last night. And they came in their costumes, with their bags, and they rang the doorbell, and do you know what they said? Happy Reformation Day! That blesses a preacher's heart. Among the various things we may have celebrated yesterday, it was Reformation Day. It was a day that we remind ourselves of God's goodness to His church. A day that we remind ourselves that God would continue to guarantee that the gospel would be preached. God worked in the life of a man like Martin Luther, and his engaging the church on the matters of salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, to the glory of God alone. And God continued to preserve His church and preserve the glory of the gospel, that we today might hear that very same truth. God is a God who saves us wholly and completely. We've been talking about that in our morning worship services as we've recounted the canons of Dort and the teaching there about our election by God before the foundation of time, God's atonement of each and every one of His chosen people. In spite of our fallen, sinful nature, He irresistibly draws us to Himself. All of these glorious truths that we embrace as a Reformed congregation. And behind those truths, behind the glories of the gospel was another tenet of the Reformation. We talk about sola fide, we're saved by faith alone. Sola gratia, we're saved by grace alone. Sola Christus, saved by Christ alone. But there's also sola scriptura. Our belief that the Word of God alone is sufficient to tell us the glories of salvation. Our absolute confidence in God's Word. And that's what we're going to remind ourselves of this morning. Those other truths will, of course, come through, but we remind ourselves that the Reformation was a return to the Word of God. Nothing particularly new came out of the Reformation. Nothing striking, nothing different. It was a return to the simplicity, a return to the clarity of the teachings of God's Word. And in doing that, we find ourselves at the book of Galatians. And we begin the way Paul begins. Paul in Galatians is going to give probably one of the best defenses of salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. But he begins by talking about the authority on which he speaks. He begins by giving a defense of the authority of the Word of God. The supremacy of God's Word. And it is that same supremacy that we celebrate today on this November 1, a day after Reformation Day. The Word of God is supreme because of the author of God's Word. Paul says in verse 1, Paul, an apostle, not from men, nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. The Bible is authored by God Himself. And the power of God that was able to create all that we see around us, the power of God the Father who was able to raise Jesus Christ from the dead, is the same power that allowed us to have this glorious written Word even yet today. The same power that would take Jesus from death to life is the power that uses this life-giving Word to enliven dead hearts, dead minds, and bring us to life. God is the author of Scripture. Paul says, not from men nor through man. Not ultimately a man's book. Now, we have confessions that we hold very dear, and they are the work of man, and we acknowledge that. But they never stand on the same level as the Word of God. God's Word has a divine author. God Himself is the ultimate author of Scripture. God the Father and God the Son, Jesus Christ, verse 4, who gave Himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age. Jesus Christ, who gave Himself from our sins and to deliver us from the present evil age. The power of God to care for us. The power of God through His Son, Jesus Christ, to deliver us from all of our sins and in an ongoing way, provide for us, care for us. We just sang, and though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God has willed His truth to triumph through us. The power of God to give us a beautiful Word written down, inscripturated, that we might have confidence, have truth, have a sense of security in this present evil age. Maybe you want to make a note in your margin or on your bulletin later today to read 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, we read in verse 20, where it says, know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. We use the word inspired to describe God's Word. God Himself breathed the Word out. And He did that by caring for the words written by man. Oh, it is not that God simply dictated to them, but He inspired them. That amazingly, a fallible man would write an infallible document. Does God have the power to do that? He could raise Christ from the dead. Of course He has the power to do that. We use words like infallible, like inerrant. The Bible is without error. The Bible cannot lead astray because of its divine author. It is the very Word of God. How could it be less than wholly true? How could it be less than wholly reliable? God Himself moved men along by the power of the Spirit to write the Word down for us. That's our confidence in the supremacy of this Word, that God Himself is its author. And God brings us a most excellent message in the Word. Verse 6, Paul says, "I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting Him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ." There was a problem in the churches of Galatia, and there were errors that were being taught. If we would read farther in this book, we read that those errors were not coming from outside the church. They were coming from within the church. There were those who were trying to pervert the gospel, teaching a different gospel. Oh, it sounded close to the truth, and they used all the right words. They would talk about grace, they would talk about faith, they would talk about Jesus. But this perversion of the gospel, if we might move ahead a number of hundred years, missed the glory of the Reformation. The gospel is not simply that we're saved by grace through faith in Christ. The Roman Catholic Church would affirm that. We are saved by grace alone. Not by grace and what we have earned, not by grace and what we have merited, but by grace alone. We are saved through faith alone. Not by faith and my works, not by faith and my obedience, not by faith and what I offer to God, but faith alone. We are saved by Christ alone. Not Christ and anyone else. Not even by Christ and my acceptance of Him. We've been talking about that in the Canons of Dort series. Not what we offer to God, but what He accomplishes for us. Paul says, "I'm astonished that you are so quickly turning away to a different gospel, which is really no gospel," he says, "but a distortion of the gospel of Christ." Paul, writing so many years ago, could be writing to us today. There are still voices that challenge the truth of the Reformation and the truth of God's Word. And they don't just come from outside the church, but they come from within. Voices that challenge the most fundamental belief that we have. We are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And yet, men serving in Reformed churches challenge that. We have today not the problem the Galatians have, but we have the problem of the federal vision. A reinterpretation of the gospel. A distortion, a perversion of the gospel. That you are saved by your faith. Oh, you'll hear that language. But what they mean is by your faithfulness. By what you do. Rank Arminian theology. We still face challenges today. voices that say you can be justified by the blood of Jesus Christ, and yet in the end, you can still lose your salvation. And these come from folks of Reformed background with Dutch-sounding names, people we know. But it is just as serious an offense as Paul dealt with in the churches of Galatia. It is a denial of the gospel. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. So Paul says, but even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. Paul doesn't pull any punches here. Let him be eternally condemned. Let him be anathema. Let the wrath of God remain on him. And then he says, as we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you have received, let him be accursed. Paul repeats himself so he could not be said to be simply blowing off steam. Well, that's just Paul being a hothead. No, he's very careful in his language here. If they come with a different gospel, let them be accursed. Let me make it very clear. If they come with a different gospel, they are to be accursed. Paul is not a hothead here. But he is carefully, diligently, vehemently warning the church, warning us. There are those who will come with a different gospel. He says, it doesn't even matter what credentials they bring. It doesn't matter how many PhDs they have after their name. It doesn't matter what esteemed seminary they graduated from. If they come with a different gospel, it is no gospel. Paul even goes so far to say, even if an angel came. Now imagine that, children. This morning, you know, you just get me, all right? That's all you get. But imagine if we had somehow managed to get an angel to come to preach to us this morning. And that angel would come in and be bright and glorious and brilliant. But even if that angel came up front and stood behind the pulpit and began to declare something contrary to God's word, we should not listen to him. If even an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preached, let him be accursed. The Word of God and the truth of God is above all else. It's beyond the speaker. It's beyond the one who declares the Word. We so easily say, you know, we read something of a certain man writes, and we say, yeah, but he went to seminary. He must know what he's talking about. He's got a PhD. He must know what he's talking about. But even the most brilliant PhD, if he writes contrary to the clear Word of God, it's a different gospel. It is not the truth. It should not be listened to. Because notice what Paul says. I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and turning to a different gospel. Paul makes the connection between God and his word. Not just turning away from the word, but turning away from him who called you by that word. God and his word are intimately connected. The word is God's meaningful self-revelation of who he is. To reject the word is to reject the one who gave the word. I'm astonished. You are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ. That's why Paul is adamant. If we leave the clarity of the Word of God, we are leaving the God who gave the Word. It's an excellent message. It's a beautiful message. A message that we focus on. A message that calls forth from us, after hearing the glories of the gospel, calls forth from us a response of faith and obedience. They don't precede the call, they follow the call. We read in verse 11, "For I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel. For I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ." God reveals Himself through the gospel. God reveals Himself through the preaching of His Word. His Spirit is active and powerful through that Word, and that Spirit calls forth from us the response of faith and repentance. We talked about that last week. It is not God who believes, it is we who believe. It is not God who repents, it is we who repent. And this morning, once again, the call of the gospel goes out. Repent and believe in Jesus Christ. God has allowed us once again to open His Word. His Spirit is here and active through that Word. And if your heart is being pulled by God, repent and believe the glories of the gospel. That's your response. That's what God requires of you. An obedient response of faith and repentance. A response that affects not just what we do here this morning, but a response that affects every part of our life. Knowing the glories of God's truth, knowing the glory of the gospel, responding in faith, means we have to live in a certain way. Paul says, verse 10, "For am I seeking the approval of man or of God? Am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." Whom do we try to please? For whom do we live our lives? One more of the solas of the Reformation. A sola that should be known to all of us who live in the shadow of Dort College, soli Deo Gloria. College students, you've heard that again and again, I hope. At convocations, at chapel services. It's on the big emblem, soli Deo Gloria. To God alone be the glory. In everything that we do, in every part of our life. That's why you're going to Dort College. To be instructed that in every part of your life, God receives the glory. And that is the required response of every one of us who know the glory of the gospel. Soli Deo Gloria. Are we trying to please men? Are we trying to make a reputation for ourselves? Are we trying to build ourselves up? No, to God alone be the glory. In the work that we do. In the way that we treat our family. In the recreation times that we have. Our response to the glory of the gospel is not simply a Sunday response to repent and believe one day a week. But that every day we seek to be a servant of God. Paul says, "To God the Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen." God is to receive all the glory. God is to receive all the praise. As we respond with faith and repentance to the gospel, that all of our choices, all of our decisions, all of our words, all of our actions reflect what will bring glory to Him. It may be that we do not have the approval of man. In fact, it may be we have the disapproval. We go through hardship because of our declaration, Soli Deo Gloria. That's beside the point. The supremacy of the Word of God calls us to an active, living, loving faith in Jesus Christ. What a glorious gospel. That we have been saved, not because of what we do, but only by grace alone, only through faith alone, only by Christ alone, only for God's glory. We are the recipients of such a great gospel. God calls us to embrace it, to love it, and to live it, because it comes to us clearly through the supremacy of His Word. Let's pray together. Lord our God, we do praise You for being a God who has chosen in Your love, in Your mercy, in Your grace to reveal Yourself to us. You've given us an excellent message in the gospel that even the simple can open Your Word and read the truth there. May we, O God, ever be vigilant. Vigilant against those who would change the gospel, who would pervert the gospel, for it is no gospel. And to embrace that is to turn away from You. O Lord, keep us steadfast in Your Word. For we know that the truth of God is above all else. Strengthen us. We may hold on to the truth You've given. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.